with their hands in their pockets and their pockets in their pants. All the little fishes do the fishy-wishy dance.
The Scarab Swarm cast is recorded, mixed, and produced at Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze in Columbia, South Carolina. Mostly. Scarab is the South Carolina area role players and board gamers convention held annually in Columbia, South Carolina on MLK weekend for 4 days. The Scarab Swarmcast podcast is hosted by and features many of the Scarab staff and guests. Views and opinions expressed on this show usually come from a random D20 chart or an FAQ found on the web somewhere, and usually don't reflect anything any sane person would or should think. I'm Toast, your kobold announcer. And now, here's our host, John Middles!
Alright, what's up my glip-glops? You're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast. I'm your host, John Manus. This episode's gonna be pretty cool. We're gonna be talking about gaming and music and gaming and all that sort of fun stuff that kind of falls in between there. I have some folks at the table with me. I have my wife, Ruby.
Hello.
I have my friend, Doug.
What's going on?
And this other guy who I think was a Scarab Iron GM 1 year.
But then I lost it all.
Everything. You spiraled uncontrollably into the abyss of shame and woe and
third place.
Yeah, third place.
John knows that feeling.
Oh, you're expensive. No, I never did third place. I didn't go large or go home. I got like fifth place at second. I was just happy I beat out Tobes.
Yeah. Matthew Preston.
So sad. All right, so today we're going to be talking about something near and dear to I think all of our hearts here. It's music and gaming, because we like music, we like gaming, and it's awesome when the two things can kind of coincide and cross and clash and things like that.
And the third thing, drinking.
We're not talking about drinking today.
Okay. That's another podcast.
Sure, we'll have the
drinking
and gaming episode.
The Swarmcast After Hours podcast.
We're all just sitting around.
I'm not sure I want to hear that one.
We'll definitely have to get Kristen on for that one. Music can be used for a lot of interesting things in gaming. Music can be used to establish a particular mood with a particular type of game. It can be used to be played in the background. So let's go over some pros and cons with having music with our gaming. So what are some pros?
The music's going, and then something exciting happens, and the music takes a sudden turn, and you're like, oh my gee, and...
I know I say that all the time. Just like that.
Yeah, one of our regular friends that runs his game, he'll tend to have a giant Spotify playlist. And every now and then it syncs up perfectly with a dramatic moment. It'll switch to like battle music right as, you know, the dragon wakes up. Or, although other times that happens and you're just in a bar.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, let's go to town.
See, you
dramatic
to
music. Nope, it's just a regular town. Sorry.
Maybe we should go through this door. Dun, 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 dun. Or maybe not.
I think, can we go back like 10 feet? Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, we'll just stand right where we are. What about you, Ruby? Any types of pros that you could think of for having
Well, if you're a short attention span person, the music can help kind of keep you focused. Because something's playing around in the background, so you may be listening to that, and you're focused a little more because you hear the different music. But then again, it kind of leads into the cons if you're a short attention span person.
Like, you're like, more attention I like to music. That. Right. I like that song. And, oh, there it goes.
Yeah.
Your attention.
But it might also help you like really remember a particular scene that you're playing. Oh yeah, that's right, because when we're doing that one,
you dip, we dip, I dip.
That's right. They're really thumping a Public Enemy song came on right then when we were negotiating with the halflings. It could happen.
Good.
It will happen. You guys,
you're pretty.
You guys took all the good ones. What do I think are some pros to having some music in the background?
I was gonna say, well, you use music a lot.
For a GM standpoint, I like it because it helps me kind of focus.
Mm-hmm. It gives good pacing. Sure.
Yes, it's good things. Use for pacing.
So you're like, we just listened to an entire album. Maybe we should.
Maybe we should have a fight now. All right. So, what about some cons? And I don't mean like a Scarab Con, which is going on this January.
What?
But like some cons. What are some cons to having some music in the background? I'll start off with one that I always think about, and this is kind of funny because it's pretty much the pro that Ruby threw in there, which is it can be kind of distracting. I remember one of the first times gaming with a particular group. I think Doug was in the group. Somebody Maybe. In the group was like, "Can we not have the music on? I'm just getting distracted by everything."
It's
like,
that was probably me, actually.
In your defense, you were probably sitting right there where the speaker was or something.
And you were in high school.
And I probably had Public Enemy or something.
I find that the more people there are, the less I like the music in the game. Like, if you get a really big game going, it's just one more voice to, like, try to hear over.
Mine is probably if the music is put together on, like, a mixtape CD type thing, and it's not all been kind of equalized. If something's super loud, and then all of a sudden something's super quiet.
Hey, what's
Matt's mixtape.
What's wrong with the sparkly mix CD?
We listen to it frequently still. It gets played quite often.
It's like, oh, we gotta turn the volume up on this one.
Well, I feel like this is a good segue into...
Yeah.
Like, what we're talking about with this mixtape.
There we go. So, let's get into this. Well, let's talk about some creative uses of music in games. I think I'm going to talk about the one Doug was hinting at. There was at least one time during one part during a Shadowrun campaign where I told everybody, hey, come up with a mix CD, and each session we'll play one of those mix CDs, and that'll be like the soundtrack, the backdrop for our game.
Now, admittedly, also John used song titles to name a lot of his scenarios or modules in Shadowrun, so it always kind of, if you knew what the song was, it kind of tied in with the theme of what that game was going to be about.
Right.
So it gave you a little bit of a clue.
And at one point I did ask everybody, hey, give me some song titles, and I made up some scenarios based off of those song titles, and then I put them together in a mixtape, which was really interesting.
Bizarre.
But we had some really, really creative ones. Doug, I know you had a really interesting mixtape.
Yeah, my brother had this idea back in the days where cassette tapes were a thing. The first song on a tape was usually a really good one, and then on the B-side, the first song, which was usually number 7, was also a really strong song. So the theory was that track number 7 was really good stuff, so I put together the sevens, which turned out pretty good.
Yeah. You had a lot of tool.
Because I kind
of
like
he's got a lot of tool.
Yeah.
It's just like Will and Kane had a lot of
sea shanties and Kings of Leon.
And
Mumford and Sons.
That was back when they were really big and had a banjo.
That's right.
Wait, they don't have a banjo anymore?
No.
No, they went electronica.
They dropped the banjo.
Yeah. It's actually one of the songs, one of their first songs that they released for their EP, for their newest album, I really like. You know, it was always like Mumford and Sons, No, it's fairly good.
We all knew that one was going to happen, though.
Yeah.
Banjos can only last so long.
But it did do something interesting with the group, because we would get these albums where it'd be like, wow, there's some overflow here with some of our stuff. Because I know I had some stuff, or at least I heard some stuff on Matt's, on your CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's cool. I totally would have put that on there if I'd thought about that. Mm-hmm. There was even something on like Will's that Woody and I were like, whoa.
Wasn't Matt's CD just the soundtrack to Twilight?
No. That was just the first song, and it was a remix.
That was I'm a Vampire.
Say it. Say it out loud. I forget what all I had on that CD.
have to say, mine and John's was a little tricky because there were songs I was like, oh, I want to put that on mine. He's like, oh, I was going to put that on mine. So
yeah, we had to like agree on who
was going to get what.
Was it like, picking teams and like PE?
Yeah.
You know?
To a degree. Yeah. But it was interesting because like, I think Will's ended with like a Final Fantasy song and then yours started with a Final Fantasy song.
No, yeah.
And then mine started with a Green Jello song, so I kind of threw that in. What about some other creative uses of music in games? I've got a couple examples written down here. But
yeah, go ahead.
If anybody else has any.
Most of my examples are all with you anyway, so.
Going back to Shadowrun, there was a point where you guys went on some sort of meta-player quest. And I remember I had the dweller in the threshold showed up, and I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if he can only speak in song lyrics? So I really had to go through a lot of songs and write down crazy song lyrics. And you guys would ask questions, and I had to like rifle through this thing really quick and go,
I remember you preparing for that.
It was like a lot of Nirvana and Beatles and stuff like that.
And there's a friend of ours, Alex, who loves to run, loves to run haunted spaceship games. He has a lot of good, creepy, haunted spaceship music to go along with.
That's cool.
Like Dead Space.
Yeah.
In particular.
Yeah, good use of stealing from video games.
Just recently I ran a Pathfinder game where it was like my version of like a Brigadoon, only with plant people. So it was this little leshies. And they were always like singing and performing. So whenever the characters talked, they were always came out of singing. But they were performing some opera, and I had a bunch of songs put together that was just playing in the background. So when someone said, "Well, where did it sing?" It's like, "Well, it sounds kind of like this thing you're hearing right now."
Mm-hmm.
And you also actually managed to get us, the players, to start doing the singy, songy voices.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff.
The people I thought wouldn't get into it got like. Jumped right into it, and the ones who I thought would get into it were like, I'm not gonna talk.
Yeah.
I was like, well, whatever.
So having the classic what do we do now conversation as a party while trying to sing,
it's a little tricky.
It was hilarious and very bad.
I even gave you guys some bonuses to some roles for actually singing out parts. Way back when I was in Charleston, I used to have Gwar playing all the time. And I was like, alright, when this song comes out, no matter what's going on, combat's gonna break out.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work out so well, because that song, like, the random seed wasn't that great, so that song came up like 5 or 6 times at one point, and I was like, crap.
Well, I like the idea, though.
just having a particular song, you're like, when this song comes up,
this will happen.
Whenever Young MC's Bust a Move comes up.
I feel like it should be Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Depending on
what you're saying. Okay. You just have some sort of like...
You're driving your car and it explodes as Sabotage is screaming.
Yeah. Wow. Roll dice, bitches.
Okay. You get trained to hate that song.
Such a bitter.
Because you'll just be driving around like, I'm going to go get some burgers or something. And that song will be on the radio. Like, oh, crap, where are my dice? I better duck. We're going to take a little break. Probably play some sort of ad for something really cool.
Oh, man.
Sure, why not?
I love cool things.
Oh, then you're in the right place. Because if I got the cool thing for you, just listen.
So you think you're a pretty tough GM, but do you think you have what it takes to be the Scarab Iron GM? Well, the Scarab Iron GM contest is coming back again for 2016, brought to you by the Scarab Swarmcast podcast. Hey, you're probably listening to that right now. Scarab Iron GM is a yearly tournament held by the Scarab Gaming Convention that showcases a GM or Game Master's talents and skills at running an RPG of their choice with only an hour to prepare their adventure. Will be judged by the players on creativity, the use of their randomly assigned game elements, and knowledge of their gaming system. The winner will then get to hold the title of Scarab Iron GM for that year and all the bragging rights that come with it. For more information about the Scarab Iron GM, you can find it on Scarab's website at s-c-a-r-a-b.com or on the Scarab Swarmcast site at johnman.podbean.com. To enter as a GM, you'll need to submit your desire to participate along with which game system you want to run to swarmcast at s-c-a-r-a-b.com. Space is limited.
And we're back, and we're still talking about music and gaming. We've gone over some pros and some cons, and You guys missed it. Matt had a really interesting little song that he did, but
he sung it pretty well too.
He did. We may hear that again later. Who knows? You just have to keep listening to the podcast to find out.
It's a mystery.
Whoa.
So next we're going to talk about, we're probably going to talk about some very specific, maybe some specific things we might try to listen to or use while we're actually gaming for our tabletop or video game stuff. So we're going to be talking about the type of stuff we might play in the background. Some very specific. We're going to get some specific examples here. And yeah, I might actually play some snippets of it on the podcast too, because that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So first thing I want to talk, I think we should talk about is for things like soundtrack. Any particular soundtracks that come to mind, either for soundtracks for movies or TV shows or video games and such.
Well, for classic fantasy, it's really hard to go wrong with the Lord of the Rings soundtrack. I mean, it's epic. It's good travel music. You're just going from town to town. You've got the epic journey music.
Yeah, walking to the mountain.
Kind of.
I would agree. I would stay away from using it overly so, because I don't know about you, but I've heard that soundtrack a bazillion times, mainly because of all the Lord of the Ring games I played, which reuse that exact same soundtrack.
Now, I do admit, how many of us here, when we were watching those movies, at some point said, huh, this would be a pretty good soundtrack for my D&D or Pathfinder game?
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Great stuff.
Doug's like, not me.
I am really terrible at running. I'll run every now and then, but...
You're more a player.
Yeah.
I remember there was a point where it seemed like every movie I would go see with a certain group of friends, it was always like, oh, we got to get this soundtrack for this game. Because I admit, when I saw, Underworld, I was like, I got to get that soundtrack. That'll be great for Shadowrun. And you know what? It's pretty good for Shadowrun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gateway drug, because that gets you into, like, Lucifer and Tool and all that stuff.
Well,
which is not a bad thing.
Well, for soundtracks for, like, fantasy games, World of Warcraft music, the soundtracks, because we played World of Warcraft and we ended up getting all the special edition boxes, I know. And it all came with the musical soundtracks, and most everything is instrumental in there, so.
Okay.
Those work really well, because they're that generic-y kind of background fantasy, because they're meant to be played in the background.
The background
anyway.
Of a game.
Right.
So you bring up an interesting point here of video game soundtracks, especially some of the more current ones.
Oh, yeah. Half the games on Steam.
Like our friend Mike has a giant playlist that, we've got an ongoing Shadowrun or Star Wars game, and he'll put, the Knights of the Old Republic, the Mass Effect soundtrack, which is really good. Right. All the sci-fi stuff, because they're really good, nice instrumentals. Sometimes you gotta skip around if you're like,
specific.
Battle music comes on when you're,
chilling.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you just got back from a big fight, and then the battle music. You're like,
And since we're talking about space and Star Wars ones, there was a point where when I was running Star Wars, I would just take one of my LucasArts CD, what was that game? The
Jedi Knight.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much any of those. As long as it was LucasArts Jedi Knight ones, you pop that in, skip track one, and play that. In fact, they had one that was called Outlaws that would work really well for when I was running Deadlands, because it had a bunch of cowboy themed music on there. But yeah, I'd pop that in, and it's like, oh, you're in a canteen. You're in the cantina. Let me skip over to track 17 mm-hmm. or 15 here, because that's the generic. certain ones, like, oh, you're coming up to the star, things like that. It did not have the dancing Ewoks song, which sadly many people will not know what that song is. any personal faves for some of these video game ones? We'll just say video games.
You had mentioned recently we found Bastion and Transistor.
That's true. I don't know why I didn't mention that yet.
Yeah. They're really beautiful music, but then that was a game mostly based around the music.
Bastion and Transistor have some really good music.
I feel like for like a Shadowrun game, if you kind of go off the deep end like we did on that one, there's one campaign where we all kind of made really crazy characters.
Yes, I still would love to play more of that.
I feel like Hotline Miami soundtrack
oh my God.
Would work very well with that, because,
It's like 8-bit Quentin Tarantino, so it's set in the 80s, Miami Vice style.
Okay. So. Now, there was a point where when I was in college, it seemed like every time we would play D&D, we would be listening to like the Xena or Hercules soundtracks for the TV shows, which is okay until you got to that one episode that was just the musical episode. Then it got kind of a little weird because it was like all of a sudden Lucy Lawless is singing some songs and you're like, what's going on?
So I got a bug up my bum and decided to alphabetize all of my music recently. Well, last night, yesterday, whatever. Uh-huh. And speaking of Xena, I found two of your Xena soundtracks.
Those are both really good soundtracks. Except I tend to play the Joxer the Mighty song over and over. Because who doesn't like Joxer the Mighty? If you don't know who that is, you should just watch. I think he's in like every episode of Xena. There was a point, and I was got really sick and tired of this. It seemed like I had this GM who every time a fight would start up, there's that Mortal Kombat movie song, not the video game, but from the movie.
We all know
which one I'm talking about too.
Yeah,
you know the test your might. Mm-hmm. That song, finish it. It's like every combat, really? That's kind of like
was it on repeat?
yes, it's on. Aww. Or you'd be playing one, and it's like, oh good, here comes Duel of the Fates. That doesn't get old after the fifth time in a row, let me tell you.
See, Banner Saga is also a new game with a lot of fun music. It's kind of Viking fantasy inspired, but it's good stuff.
Mm,
it's not sea shanty. It's very...
It's, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Battle songs.
Yeah.
One that I really like is Xenosaga. Has a great soundtrack. Oh,
yes. There was a, they did like a special thing where it was like humans versus Gears, where the human side was all orchestrated, and they redid the soundtracks like that, and the Gears side was all like techno stuff. And it was like
really cool.
a two-disc thing. That was really cool.
I have a Xenosaga one that is two discs. One's red and one's blue, but I don't think it's that.
This was Xenogears.
Xenogears, yeah. Sorry.
Same thing.
I have Xenogears.
Xenosaga tends to be has a little bit more of an operatic kind
But there was I saw a I think it was called Lux Slinger. It was like a kind of an indie game on a PC, like a side scroller that had Western hip hop as the soundtrack. That was pretty cool.
See, and the game, one of the games I was talking about, Bastion. It's like it's like a Western with some hip hop kind of vibes going on there too. Some of the beats and stuff, and that one works really well. That one was actually suggested by Christian Muckler
from Ultimum.
When I was like, hey, I'm getting ready to play Test of Ultimum, what's some good music to play for that? And he said, I usually like the Bastion soundtrack. So I don't know what that is.
We'd already had the game though.
No, we didn't have the game. So it's like, well, let me check out the game. Okay. And I'm playing the game. I'm like, this game is awesome, and I can see how the soundtrack would be awesome too. And then I got the other game that company makes called Transistor, and that soundtrack is awesome as well. And the two mixed together really interestingly.
That
one night, I don't know if you were
you
here.
You might not have been here.
There was one night
when I had
just
those
playing.
Those are pretty good.
I don't know. John tends to have music playing in the background quite often in his games. Not necessarily for the game itself, but you know.
But just in general.
Yeah.
But if I can get stuff that actually kind of works for the game, that's even better. So let's talk about this other type of thing that you can have playing in the background called soundscapes. There's a couple places I know, there's a bunch of places that make different soundscapes, but a couple places that come to my mind are Sirenscape, who do a lot of the sounds and stuff that we hear when we're at Gen Con in the Paizo room, like especially during the specials, their stuff would be playing in the background.
Yeah.
They have a special relationship with Paizo now, so they've put out special packs for different types of characters, like the iconic warrior fighter has his own kind of little sound pack.
Interesting.
But these are different things. Like I know with places like Sonic Legends will make things like here's general barroom noise.
Mm-hmm.
You play this one track, put it on repeat, and it just builds the atmosphere like you're in a bar. You hear glasses clanking, people just kind of muttering. You're rhubarb in the background.
Matt was saying, one of our friends, he likes to run haunted space station games. He uses like the creepy like spaceship creaking
yeah.
with the occasional drip.
We just found our Halloween sounds.
Oh yeah, so, you know, soundtrack. The Halloween soundtrack CDs are great for a little spooky setting, spooky environments too, like that. Mm-hmm. But stuff like that, I've heard some really cool ones on Kickstarter that I can't tell you who they belong to. But there's one. It was like, this is like a futuristic battlefield battle scene, and I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. There's like laser shots going off, but like, because it was in full stereo, so some of it would come over off the right hand side, and you hear just people marching and grunting and orders and stuff.
Now I'm imagining like a full 7.1 surround sound, like for your gaming table.
I have to get
table.
These speakers set up just right.
There's a speaker under each chair.
I could queue up certain speakers to go off. Like, oh, Matt's sitting there. Let me adjust which speaker that is.
So
Matt's sitting in the dubstep chair.
You're not only a GM, you're a DJ.
There we go. It's like I have this big mixing board right in front of me. I have my headphones on. I got a soundboard over here. A little tiny room off to the corner. That's my GM screen. So I can actually run the game.
Remember, you have to have one hand in the air when you're
DJing.
That's
right. Gotta have the...
Yeah, well, it goes from on the headset, where your other hand's doing stuff.
Doing some
stuff. Or, like, bouncing up and down to, instead of the beat, I guess, the lasers.
There we go.
Yeah, I wonder if you can get a soundtrack of the Saints Row dubstep gun. Because that... Just for maximum ridiculousness.
There we go. So soundscapes, and the ones I can actually think of.
Sirenscape,
which is more it's more like some mood music, and there are some sound effects in there. Yeah. But Sonic Legends is really does good on the stuff that doesn't necessarily have music in it. So like the bar scenes or the cobblestone road or you're in a cave with bats and stuff flying around.
Yeah, I want to say I listened to their stuff at Gen Con one year, and it was pretty good stuff.
And I know. Sirenscape, it has like their own kind of app or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's very kind of proprietary in a way. You can't just get the MP3s, you get the app and buy licenses for certain songs.
Yeah.
But it's reasonably priced. But Sonic Legends, I know you can go into like DriveThruRPG and get their stuff from there. Or you get the CDs, I guess, if you want to be a Luddite like that. But are you really a Luddite if you're using a CD?
Nowadays.
Nobody uses CDs anymore.
I know, right? It's all digital.
Even has a CD drive.
Right. So that's soundscape. I don't know anybody who has. Alright, so that's soundscapes. That's pretty much what a soundscape is. It's specifically made to be the background noise that you're hearing. Like if I stopped recording right now and we had the crickets chirping, maybe the dishwasher going off every now and then, the chairs kind of creaking, that would be a soundscape. And then I could sell that scene for like 25 cents an hour.
If you want to have that authentic gaming feel.
Every now and then someone just comes in and rolls some dice.
Or you hear a loud fart.
Get some art. Get some ice from the fridge.
Gamer room.
Every now and then.
I guess the farts would be.
Can I get a drink out of your fridge?
Where's your bottle open?
Can I have this beer? Those are all things that are heard in our apartment. Our house.
I'm sure those are things that any gamer hears during their games. So let's talk about another type of thing, which is going to be the instrumental type things. I'm going to, of course, throw in a plug for our buddies at Midnight Syndicate. They have some really neat kind of dark gothic-y type music, which is perfect for just general background noise for anything. There may be some playing right now.
Crickets.
See, wasn't that cool? You'll probably hear more of that during the show. These guys are looking at me like, what are you talking about, John? Don't worry about it. I'll clean it up and post. And of course, most gamers, when you talk about instrumental stuff, they're going to throw out the name Lindsay Sterling.
Because she's a chick and she's semi-hot and she plays violin.
Well, and she does like music.
She does Zelda music.
Oh, really? Is she the one that does like that?
She works with pentatonic sometimes.
The dubstep violinist?
Sort of, maybe. Yeah. She's done
I'll say
some
yes.
of it.
I'll say yes.
If it is that, I just read.
She's blonde. I think she's blonde. I don't know.
Sure.
She, one of them
sometimes
she's
done, she is.
Yeah. She's not a bad violinist, but she is very much a showman violinist.
She likes to do a lot of covers.
I'm more anti-dubstep.
She does a lot of covers of different things.
Right.
And sometimes she gets other people. And sometimes there's vocals in there and you go, oh, Lindsay, why? You didn't eat. No,
what if she did whale step violin?
Whoa.
Whale step.
What is whale step?
It's like dubstep, but with whales.
Really?
Do you still drop the bass?
Yes.
Whale, 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 whale. Okay.
I'm I'm gonna have to find some of this.
Oh my god, it's a baby wheel.
Sorry, random.
That's squirrel.
Well, it's speaking of instrumental type stuff. One of the Scarab Swarm, Kniffin Miller, suggests Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Which, I just think Christmas.
That's what I think of.
Like, I know they do Christmas other song stuff, play all but. The time.
There's a
and see the lights dancing on the house.
He says it's not an instrumental, but yeah, you know, we were talking earlier, and like I think Coheed and Cambria is like
they're close.
I always said it's like a soundtrack to a movie that hasn't been made yet, but it could be the soundtrack to a game that hasn't. I mean, they have a comic that goes along with the stories of their music, but you know, you can totally make that into a game.
Let's see. There's some other stuff here that some of the other Scarab Swarm suggest.
Like what?
Well, like Brian Gambrell, for example, and this is, he lists a bunch of soundtracks. He, of course, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, the Narnia score.
Okay, I hadn't thought of that.
Says work really good for your fantasy type games. He suggests for Shadowrun, like the RDJ Sherlock Holmes score for Shadowrun?
No. Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu. I thought that sounded kind of weird. Although, try it out for Shadowrun. Who knows what might happen. He also suggests for Shadowrun listening to things like the Matrix score in the soundtrack.
Yeah. I was going to say, almost any other electronica music would work well.
I think the Matrix score for that is like a gimme shot, isn't it?
It's like nothing but 90s. Whenever the Matrix came out.
Early 2000s.
Okay. Yeah. Like a bunch of Rob Zombie.
I could put a bunch of Rage Against the Machine on for Shattering.
True. I mean, some Zombie. Like a Rob Zombie. Like that. Just, I'm imagining Shadowrun missions already.
I guess I'm jaded because of the way you've done your Shadowrun games is the way you take your music.
And sometimes I throw in a bunch of stuff from the 90s. Like,
right.
Like White Zombie and a little Nirvana here and there. Well, for me, though, with Shadowrun, it's like, well, I use some of the music that comes from that Seattle area, if we're in Seattle, if I can. Or I just come up with some just crazy off-the-wall stuff that I think is going to work really well. And it usually works pretty well. Let's see, what else we got here? We have Mr. Matt Prakowski suggests some more video game soundtracks. Myst, Riven, and Myst 2. He says they give some great general exploration, or expiration, as he calls it, and creepiness factor. I guess it could be expiration factor. Oh, you walk into a wall and you die.
That's
shouldn't
me.
Have walked into the wall. Liz Schultz suggests the Castlevania soundtracks, which I just assume she doesn't mean Castlevania 1, 2, and 3. Although those could be pretty cool too. I could see that. Oh, you died. Oh, what a horrible night to have a curse. And then Dale Collins suggests the soundtrack for The Mummy's Mask, just released by Paizo, which I believe is mostly an audio drama, so I'm not sure if...
I think he gets paid every time he mentions Paizo.
Well, I don't, Paizo, so Paizo, I'm not
Paizo,
gonna...
Paizo.
Squirrel. But yeah, it's a set of audio dramas that go along with that whole adventure path. So I think they're going to be releasing like a CD for each one of those parts of the adventure path. I want to say they did that for Rise of the Rune Lords, but from what I've read from the reviews on the Paizo boards, this one's better. But don't let me color your judgment. You should check that out for yourselves, Paizo. Okay, so that's some suggestions from some of the Scarab staff. Where were we? We just finished talking about instrumentals. Okay, so here's some other kind of crazy stuff. You could just put what about putting like a radio station or an XM station or something like that on the background? There was a point where we were doing that when we had the good XM stations and we could put it on
before they merged with Sirius.
We put it on like Alt Nation, then at midnight it would turn
10 o'clock to midnight.
From 10 to midnight it was Liquid Boombox Radio. Liquid Tide. And that was some pretty interesting
For Shadowrun.
Remixes. For Shadowrun, yes.
It worked,
yes.
Yeah, it worked really well for Shadowrun, and it was fun to listen to.
Yeah,
there were actually a couple songs that were hits on the radio that I detested, but that I heard the remixes on the Boombox radio, that I actually way preferred the remix and actually made me like the song.
Yeah, and you know, we used Spotify you pick a video game soundtrack and make a station out of those that usually pulls in a bunch of other video game similar stuff.
have. Yeah. But anyway, again, custom mixes, you don't have the, you know, as good as, you know, the internet radio station's algorithms are, sometimes they get a little weird with some of this kind of niche music.
Yeah. So there was one point where I put on, like, the video, I was like, ooh, video game music, and I put that on for a Slacker radio, and it was cool, and then every now and then it would just get just really bizarre. You'd get, like, the Qbert music or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, eh, break the illusion.
So sometimes you could, you know, make your own radio station by just putting, you know, 150 songs all into one playlist and hit random. You know, it's kind of a merge between a custom mix.
Yeah. I've done something similar to that, where I just took a bunch of random MP3s and burnt them onto a disc, and going back to the whole
MP3 discs, cutting edge.
I'm getting up there, right? So some interesting views and thoughts on using radio stations and custom mixes. I noticed Matt didn't have anything he wanted to say about that.
I had nothing to say about that.
Well, what are some of our favorites or some music that really just kind of gets us into the gaming mood? Maybe it's not necessarily something that we listen to at while we're gaming. Something just gets us, like, pumped up and ready to game. We'll start with Matt, because Ruby's looking for this.
It's tough to get me into the gaming mood.
Yeah, you know you're getting ready to game.
Hotline Miami soundtrack. I'll say it again. It's amazing.
Like, you're getting ready for Flames of War tournament or something like that.
You know, honestly,
because it doesn't have to be just RPGs. Yeah. I mean, like, miniatures games and stuff.
That's a good idea. I'm gonna have to try that out
tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe listen to some Chevelle. Get all angry and mad.
Oh, I'm so angry.
That's not where I thought you were going with that.
Older Chevelle? I don't know.
Like, I think you're going with, like, some John Philip Sousa. I need some Margie and Margie.
I'll be playing the Russians in tomorrow's tournament, so I can listen to the Red.
Uh-huh. I'm going to listen to the soundtrack of the Hunt for Chevelle. Red October.
Actually,
that might be pretty good.
Yeah.
What if it's just a bunch of, like,
I got Gregorian chants. What about that?
And
I do have some Gregorian chants.
We do too. We have
We're gamers, so we've got some Gregorian chants.
We do. And we've got some Celtic music.
So I can't believe we've made it this far.
The Dawn Treader.
I can't believe we've made it this far in the podcast without discussing the world's greatest bard, the dude on the guitar in Mad Max, Fury Road.
Oh my goodness,
like, does he have a soundtrack? God.
That's why
I can just have bard him show up
right there.
I need to listen to that on my way into the tournament tomorrow.
Bonus points if you have giant speaker Red truck.
Pajamas.
Uh-huh. Matt pulls up in that.
Ghost Riding!
You gonna ghost ride your Volvo? Uh-huh.
What about you, Ruby? Is there any particular music that just really kind of pumps you up, gets you ready for gaming? Any type of gaming?
Say, because I listen to so much types of music. Beatles, Enya.
It's pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Something high energy if you're in a rush.
Right. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I'll get me some folk music in there.
Oh, yeah. This folk music. I'm ready to cleave some heads and twain with my barbarian.
Not hillbilly music.
Was it there was a Finnish cover of
you have a really low
was it that AC/DC song that was really well done with banjos. It was hilarious.
It wasn't Back in Black.
Thunderstruck.
Thunderstruck
on banjo.
Some AC/DC
like fins.
I meant some AC/DC will get me kind of pumped for
Guar gets you pumped.
Guar anytime. Get ready again. Throw in some Guar. Boom. Good to go. Let's roll some dice.
Well, that works for John, not so much for me.
For like Dogs in the Vineyard or
yeah, Dogs in the Vineyard. Throw in some Guar. Boom. There you go. Ready to lay down the law for the Lord.
Have you actually gotten to play Dogs in the Vineyard?
No.
I've heard about it. Experience it at least once.
And with Ruby's recommendation, I feel this would be a good time to go on a break.
But suddenly,
ta-da!
What got you into pimping?
Okay, who is this person? What is their personality? What is their motivation? And what am I doing in this world?
I'm basically evil. Dun 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 dun.
All right.
She does have a pretty mouth, I'm just saying. Woo! You know, bloody vengeance.
And we're back again. So we're still talking about gaming and music, and we're going to get onto, we're going to kind of get into the part where we kind of round this all up. So let's start off by talking about, we talked about all kinds of music, we've mentioned some games, but let's focus now. What games tend to work well with music? And we've been talking a lot about RPGs, but let's think of some other games too. Like, are there any other games that work well with music? I'll go ahead and throw Shadowrun out there, because I think Shadowrun works well with music.
Deadlands.
Deadlands is an excellent one, especially if you got some of that really country twang. Oh, that reminds me. I specifically bought like the soundtrack to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly for Deadlands. I was like, I'm gonna run Deadlands, I need to get this. And then I got the soundtrack to Wild Wild West, which in retrospect it could have been worse.
And to think he gave that up. He gave Matrix up to make that movie.
Yep.
Will Smith, that's.
Is that a... So are there any other games that work that work well with music? We'll say D&D and Pathfinder. Yeah. Those can work well with music.
If you can't tell.
Unless you're
Star Wars.
At a con.
Star Wars, right.
Like, yeah.
If you can't tell, this group is primarily RPG people. We aren't big board gamers, so I personally can't think of any board games or anything.
Well, I feel like you could have anything on in the background of a board game.
Right.
Like, I'm playing Puerto Rico.
Let's play some...
Spanish music.
Some Puerto Rican music on. No, because if we play some Spanish or Mexican music, then I'm going to be like, can we go get some tacos now? Because now I'm hungry. See, I mentioned the tea. Oh, John said tacos. You know what that means?
I think you're not eating Puerto Rican.
It means we got to leave and go get the tacos.
And we'll be back.
We'll be back. Those are some good tacos. I think tacos, if you were playing a game... So if you were playing a game like Super Dungeon Explorer, I think having some 8-bit music or some what's it called? Like I Fight Dragons does some stuff like this.
Chiptunes.
Chiptunes. Yeah, chiptune stuff. If you're playing that game, that could work. That could help build the atmosphere. And I think you'd have to get a good variety so it just didn't get annoying.
Yeah.
Like I would suggest it for Battlestar Galactica, whatever the name of the board game is, but it's almost as much fun to just sit there and go do 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 do.
I know.
We do. We have that, like, the Battlestar Galactica soundtrack
from the TV show. Yeah.
Whenever the music builds up and someone's about to be revealed as a Cylon.
Oh crap!
It keeps building up.
Wait, are we all Cylons?
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Why not? Roll d6. Did a number come up? You're silent. Mine got cocked. I guess I'm a human.
Lucky.
So you're using your d11.
Oh, wait, I gotta re-roll now. Crap. Roll d11.
Your d10 that has the flat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do have d11. what about, some RPGs, board games. What about miniatures games? My experience is that miniatures gamers, there's either too many of them in the room for any music to make any kind of difference, or I'm sure there's certain ones I know who are not in this room or at this table who would say, no, it's too distracting, I have to focus on my armies, my miniatures. Get that mic out of my face. Quit following me around.
I'll follow that sword. I'm not going to mention anybody's name. I'll follow that sword. Shoot, I'd be like, if it's a tournament, if you're just, you know, screwing around with your friends, sure, whatever. But if it's a, you know, tournament, it's time.
Okay.
You know, distractions would slow you down.
It could
throw the game if you don't have enough time to play.
And that's not something you would really get from an RPG, so it wouldn't matter.
Unless you're playing psychological warfare. And I just pull out my phone, start playing some T-Swift.
Is this going to mess with you?
Hey, there's your strategy for tomorrow.
Boom.
Oh, we were joking the other day for psychological warfare, playing like, you know, X-Wing or Armada by wearing a like Jar Jar Binks mask and just going full like, no, Jar Jar was the best character, and just really
check out this tattoo,
just really throw the opponent.
You know, without Jar Jar, there would never be
an empire.
All right, squirrel.
That was total. Squirrel thing, which is something that another podcast does. But anyway, so what are there any, as all of us here at the table are huge LARPers, is there any, we're not, I'm just kidding.
I don't think I've ever participated in
LARPing. I would think
funny YouTube videos about LARPing.
Well, I think like maybe as far as that, like, is there any music that works well in LARPs? It's probably going to be whatever you would hear if it's, like, a fantasy game. Maybe yeah. whatever you would hear at, like, a ring fest.
But I feel
I'm thinking of, like, a short person wearing a funny jester hat walking around with a ukulele.
Are you talking like a baby?
Yeah. Yes, we'll go with a baby.
A baby playing a lute.
A baby. A baby, except they're fully grown, but still the size of a baby, but not really. Hey, you're going to get me in trouble. Like, say it. Say the word.
Say
I'm not going to say it.
You're not going to say midget?
But I'm thinking...
Little person?
There you go. Well, Ruby said it.
Dwarf?
So. Now, those are all very different things.
Well...
But anyway, I tried to ask our LARPing people, like, if there's any game songs that would be good at LARPs, and they all replied with silence, so I'm guessing they were probably offended by what I said. To which I apologize to all LARPers out there. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you guys hated music so much. I'm so sorry. So, Now, let's kind of throw this on its head just a little, ever so slightly. Let's talk about some games that actually have their own music or soundtracks or original soundtracks. But we're kind of break it down a little bit differently. Let's talk about board games. Are there any board games you can actually think of that actually have their own soundtracks? Because I'll throw out the obvious one, which is Escape, Curse of the Temple, which has a thing you actually play on your iOS or mobile device. And it has the music, and it's got built-in timers and stuff into it, and it helps actually build the atmosphere of the game, because the music will speed up when it's getting a little bit more treacherous.
Does the XCOM board game, does that app come with a soundtrack?
I was just wondering.
It doesn't come with a soundtrack, but the app has music in it.
Okay.
So
music from the video game. But I think that counts.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going to show my age here. Old VHS tape, the Dragon Strike or whatever it was.
Oh, wow. See, I made a note about Atmosphere, which is kind of the same thing.
Oh, really?
It's the, ooh, I'm the Scooby, spooky grave digger.
Because Dragon Strike was a board game.
You must each roll a d6.
The VHS that you
play. Pause and yeah. plays.
Right.
Right. Oh, and you know, we have a couple, we have like Seen It.
Which oh, yeah,
I guess
yeah,
you
yeah,
could
okay.
maybe you could count that, because it would have the little, and it's like, all right, you have 5 seconds to answer, and it'll play some goofy sound.
We also do have in the board game library that we never pull out because we don't have frickin' TV at Scarab.
Zing!
DVD Trivial Pursuit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I'm not a big fan of trivia board games, so.
I love my copy of Trivial Pursuit that is from 76. It's amazing how wrong some of the answers are.
That would be hilarious, yeah.
It's like every other question. What's the best country in the whole world?
USSR.
Wrong.
I think that's actually in my wife's car for road trips.
Nice. All right. Let's see. Were there any that I made notes of? Well, we talked about Atmosphere and Escape. Doug mentioned the XCOM one, which I got to play, and the music in there does really help build up the atmosphere of that game.
Awesome.
Because it does kind of like Escape. It like speeds up during certain parts where it goes, okay, it's your turn now. Fart, here's all the money for whatever you're doing. Done. Okay. All right, well, let's talk about RPGs. Are there any RPGs that have their own soundtrack? Now, I did mention Midnight Syndicate. They did do a soundtrack for Dungeons & Dragons.
Back. Yeah.
This is
3.0. And
yeah. It was right there at 3.0. Not 3.5, but 3.0. It's a cool...
they have it.
It's a cool-ish soundtrack. Yes. It's got a picture of a beholder on it.
Yeah.
Back when you could dip one level into Bard, as long as you had the ranks in perform, you could get all of the bardic powers.
Yeah.
Best game ever.
Any other RPGs that come to mind that have their own soundtracks? There's quite a few out now that are putting out some.
Right.
I want to say there's some that we just got this year as sponsors who either have soundtracks or are coming out with those soundtracks. There's that one, that French one, I think.
Shadow of Estern?
Estern, yes. I think it might have a soundtrack or will have a soundtrack.
I don't know.
I'm totally making stuff up. Or am I? This means they got to come up with a soundtrack now. See what
well,
I
the
did
way
there?
He talks about the game is he actually talks about that they plan on making a movie if they can get funding for it.
Which means
like
it's
going
to have a soundtrack. So. They should get in contact with Midnight Syndicate to do their soundtrack.
Or it could be like, you know, the some of the movies, like what, Castaway, where there was no soundtrack.
Oh yeah,
really? I never watched Castaway.
I think it was Castaway. Might have been I Am Legend.
No, I Am Legend had soundtrack. I'm
pretty sure it was Castaway.
Every now and then,
Life Pie.
You'll get like one of those
artsy. Yeah.
I never watched.
No, like survival and
dude
and to
who would do that?
To kind of like really hammering in that they're alone. It's like dead quiet. There's no the soundtrack to the movie is whatever. Yeah. If you hear music, it's because they're hitting the radio or.
Okay.
Interesting. I do have a soundtrack for Deadlands. Actually the Deadlands soundtrack, and it is pretty good. In my opinion, you can't really use it as like a soundscape though, because the song is very specific to certain things. Because you'd be listening to it and it's like, okay, apparently we're on a train now, because we just hit the haunted ghost train track. But it's still pretty good. Ah, crap, when we were talking about things that were, like, video games that make good soundtracks for RPGs, I should have mentioned Diablo. Diablo series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You hear that, you hear that little steel guitar starting up, and you go, uh-oh, it's about to get all dark fantasy up in here. I'm gonna beat up a bat and some plate mail's gonna drop off.
Hello?
Alright, any other RPGs you could think of that might have their own specific soundtracks? I know there's a few. I encourage other people who are listening to this to perhaps email us or leave us a note somewhere where we might find it with some suggestions. At the end of the show, you'll figure out how to do that. It's really not that complicated. Well, let's move on. What about miniatures games and war games? Do any of those have their own soundtrack?
I don't know.
Well, I asked our miniatures guys in Scarab Swarm.
But most of the miniatures games tend to be played without electricity.
Yeah, that's true.
Except with that Golem Arcana
Yeah,
game.
That is a neat-looking game, actually.
Does it have some...
You can use your tablet and stuff to take care of it.
You have to use your tablet.
Yeah, it has chips in
all,
them, and yeah.
It uses the whole AR, VR kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it has any music, though. Seems like a prime candidate.
Let's say that it does. So that way we have at least one miniatures game. When I think of, like, the old 4DK stuff, I keep thinking of the group Bolt Thrower. You could say it was sort of like an official Games Workshop soundtrack, because they used all the covers to all the Games Workshop books on there.
A couple tournament Flames of War tournaments. One of the guys was talking about some, like, Hanzer or something. Some band that played, like, metal World War II style.
I believe it.
That sounds awesome, actually. So you guys check them out. Panzer something or other. What's it?
Yeah.
Just type in the word Panzer into your local browser.
Panzer and music. I'm sure.
Panzer music. Make sure you put that Z something. In there.
Panzer music.
All right. Well, let's talk about video games that might have some awesome soundtracks to it. Go!
I think we listed a whole bunch earlier on.
Because we use their soundtracks for other things.
That's right. So, like, in my notes, I have Bastion, Transistor, pretty much most of the Final Fantasy games.
Which I do believe is the first time we actually have brought up Final Fantasy, surprisingly.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, we brought it up when we were talking about mixed CDs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, so there's the Final Fantasy for the instrumental stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm going to talk about Final Fantasy X2.
Yes.
Which has, like, actual songs in it. Uh-huh. Like, lyrics and everything. Those are awesome, and they're part of the game. You start off at a concert. You're playing while you're singing, performing one of the songs.
Keep on meaning to play that game. Haven't gotten around to it.
I mean, there's always stuff like DDR.
We have the PS4 one.
Oh, awesome.
It has X and X2 on it, and remastered stuff.
And it's got, like, all the Japanese stuff in X2, so there's a couple outfits that you could only get on
the international.
Yeah, there's, I guess one of my, some of my favorite songs are... I don't know how you would describe
it. Come on, say Hotline.
No. there's a DJ who goes by Team Teamwork, who has the Ocarina of Rhyme and Final Fantasy VII, where he mixes the Zelda and Final Fantasy with awesome hip hop rap songs. Excuse me. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, that's awesome. Well,
I don't know exactly the legality. It's kind of in that. It's in the whole Gray album kind of.
Gotcha.
It's
this is your SoundCloud Bandcamp kind of territory. MySpace. It's on MySpace.
I'm pretty sure you could go to the dude's website. It's
probably. Yeah.
Teamwork. Hard to spell. I mean,
anyway.
Well, there's a lot of people. Some other things I can think of. These are some games that have some good music in it that don't really work anywhere else except in those games. That's anything from the Neverhood series.
Okay.
Those songs really don't work anywhere. anywhere else except in those games, in my opinion. I say that, and I've just made one person with a shock of white hair through his hair just really mad. Oh, I play that on all my games, but he doesn't listen to this podcast thing.
Are you inadvertently calling him a Luddite?
Inadvertently, no. Overtly, yes. Command and Conquer, the first game.
Oh, that's what CNC stood for.
Command and Conquer. I remember the very first game had a pretty cool soundtrack, mm-hmm. and you had that crazy "I'm a Mechanical Man" song that was in there. Yeah. And then in Warcraft, Tides of War had "I'm a Medieval Man" song that was the bonus track mm-hmm. with the Lex in the background. Why do you keep touching me? Any other video games of note that have some really kicking
Mass
music?
Mass Effect.
You know, yeah, Mass Effect. How can we...
Dragon Age.
I know we've mentioned
really
Mass
music.
Effect, and so yeah. anything with, like, Origin stamp on it, I guess?
I don't know about that. And that's EA, not Origin.
I'm going to throw out Tetris. What?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I just want to pack.
I did kind of walk down the aisle to that.
Oh, who doesn't like that one? And, you know, we'll say Super Mario Brothers, because why not? We'll keep it all together as one big happy family. You walk in a room with a bunch of gamers, and all you do is go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and somebody's going to pick it up from there and just keep on going. And then you have the one dude in the corner who just goes, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
So you guys know what I'm talking about with that.
See?
It's caught on like wildfire. The fire that is wild.
Alright.
So that's video games. Alright, well, I'm gonna hit up this bonus topic because why not? I know this isn't really gaming.
That's you.
But, what about... What about... Okay, are there any... Can you guys think of any comic books out there that might have their own soundtrack?
Yeah, who here reads the comics?
Reads the comics. The John. Fact that you call them the comics tells me reads the comics. Well, I'm going to mention just a couple really quick. There's a comic, I don't even know if it comes out anymore. It was done by Ben Dunn. It was on Antarctic Press. And it's called Warrior Nun Ariala, which was an awesome, awesome kick butt kind of comic. Came out in the 90s, I want to say. And it had a soundtrack, which we'll just say that it was definitely music that was on a CD.
That he does own.
Then I'm going to next
Back
thing I want
to CDs.
Next thing I want to mention is this group called Entombed, which came out with an album called The Wolverine Blues.
So when I was sorting awesome. Through an alphabetizing,
have you heard that one?
No, I just love the sound of it.
Man, the way it starts. Okay, this is you put the CD in, and this is the first thing you hear. You hear dur 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 dur, and then it pauses, and you hear. Dur, 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 dur. I've never been able to make it past that part of the album.
So when I was alphabetizing the CDs,
I'll play it after the thing. You'll hear it. You'll laugh. It's hilarious.
So we could like
play it on this.
Yeah.
I got to that. I was doing the E's and I saw Entombed. And I'm looking at the cover. I'm like, I had no idea that there was a Wolverine. Okay, and I shelved it on the rack.
Now, the cool thing about it is you pull out the liner notes,
uh-huh.
and it's like an actual comic. It's Marvel said, sure, we can they reprinted one of their comics in the liner
Ooh,
notes.
Comics awesome. That have a soundtrack. Back to Coheed and Cambria.
Oh,
they have
yeah.
comics.
Oh, yeah,
they have a whole
right.
line of comics.
Whole that's
line.
Pretty much what that yeah. that's that shtick's all about.
All right.
And then I'm going to live it off of this one. One of my personal favorite comics that had like a theme song that I think Warren Ellis and the guys who wrote the song wrote the comic book actually did the soundtrack or the song for Next Wave.
It is a fun song.
It's a fun song. It's crazy, but the comic book's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think that's a good place to kind of stop our discussion on music and gaming. Was there anything else we wanted to mention?
John is awesome.
That are related to this topic. And thank you.
The Wolverine Blues brought up the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack.
Oh.
That would
gosh.
Be super cool, because yeah. the real folk... Really,
you know what? Yeah, I forgot. We used the Cowboy Bebop. I used to play the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack a lot during Shadowrun. It works really well for that. And for Deadlands. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. That something like that would work for that. I think Ruby is now trying to find the Wolverine Blue CD, which is awesome. So, we'll leave you guys now with...
We could play him out on that.
Yeah, we might play him out on that.
Gee, I sure wish I could play some Pathfinder, but I don't know anybody who plays or runs it.
Wednesday!
Wednesday!
Wednesday! At Firefly Toys and Games in Columbia, South Carolina, Scarab Gaming Convention presents Pathfinder Society Game Night. Play scenarios!
Earn XP!
Crush your enemies! The cost is free!
Free!
Free! Newbies, welcome!
I better write this down. I sure hope that yelling guy tells me when it is again.
Wednesday!
Wednesday!
Wednesday! At Firefly Toys and Games, Columbia, South Carolina. Game start at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. Check listings on Firefly's Facebook site for details, or check out the Palmetto Lodge meetup site on meetup.com. Pathfinder Society Game Night. Roll the dice before they roll you.
Well, I like the sound of that. I'm there.
All right. Well, since we've been talking about music, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to, instead of doing a game review, we're going to do a review of an actual CD that just came out. Well, actually, it's going to be released to the masses in a couple weeks, about the middle, second week of October, I want to say. But this is the new album that's coming out, which I just happen to have a copy of, by MC Lars. It's called the Zombie Dinosaur LP. I keep wanting to call it the Zombie T-Rex LP, but it's the Zombie Dinosaur LP. And because I did some Kickstarter magic, and because I went and saw him in concert and bought a little robot from him, I got all sorts of advanced copies of the CD. Hooray! So we're going to be reviewing this, and by that I mean myself, John, and my wife Ruby's going to talk a little bit about it.
That's maybe me.
And of course, Doug.
What up?
And maybe Matt.
Maybe.
Maybe, if he feels so inclined. Matt doesn't like music, so he might not.
It's pretty much the worst.
So, again, this thing is the Zombie Dinosaur LP. Apparently, it's been about 4 years or so since Lars has actually put out another LP,
really?
I guess.
It doesn't seem like it.
Well, that's
been
what he
four
makes.
4 years since Lars Attacks?
I think it might have been about 4 years since Lars Attacks.
Yeah. Wow.
I know he's put out an EP since then, and at least one mixtape, because he's always putting out these mixtapes. That's what these guys do. They go, oh, look, I put a bunch of stuff out
on
SoundCloud or something like that, and I'm going to call it a mixtape. It's not really a tape.
Back to this tape thing.
I know, right? So, we're going to be not only talking about the Zombie Dinosaur LP, but he also released a mixtape called 22 Concept, but a hit definitely still ain't one. And we're going to talk about that too. So we're going to sneak that in as kind of a bonus track. Ah, yeah. See what I did there?
Except we're not going to do a long pause, a silence.
Yeah, I'm going to make everybody wait exactly 13 minutes and 13 seconds, and then it's just going to pop in. No, I'm not going to do that. That's silly. I'm glad that trend hasn't stuck around.
There's still people that do it.
I know, and they're jerks. No, I'm kidding.
MP3s take that right out of it.
I know. Yeah. I think that's why people don't really do that much anymore, because digital age, baby.
Age of the geek, baby.
Speaking of Age of the Geek, we're going to get some nerdcore stuff here. MC Lars.
Which you've probably heard some of his music right here on the podcast.
That's true.
John did get permissions to use pretty much anything of his the podcast.
He's a friend of the podcast. He's a pretty cool guy. He listened to at least one silly, goofy rap that I put together, and he said, wow, it sounds a lot like some old school, like, 80s hip-hop.
He's one of the nicest people
he's
I've ever met.
Very, very
he's very,
friendly.
Cool. I think
he even rapped about it on this album at one point.
He does. In fact, that brings us to the very first track in the album called Where You Been, Lars 2. On the album This Gigantic Robot Kills, he did a song called Where You Been, Lars, which he just kind of recapped everything he's done up until that album. And he kind of does that on this one too, which is how we know that it's been about 4 years since he recorded the last one. Like Doug said, he mentions he's really friendly and has really awesome fans. What did we think about this one, the Where You Been, Lars 2?
It was really nice, except the... And there's always a little bit of a comedy in nerdcore, and he kind of takes the tail end of the song, where he's just kind of talking.
Yeah, he drags it on for a little long, because he's talking about some...
But I guess I'm usually listening to music, I'm trying to... Like, I'm listening while I'm at work, with headphones on, trying to, get stuff done.
Right.
And so that kind of, that's really jarring. So that's, I guess, more of how I listen to music. It's kind of jarring. It takes you out of it.
Gotcha. Yeah. But it's just a quick little intro. It's kind of neat hearing some of the stuff he's done. Second track is the, dare I say, semi-titular track. It's actually called Zombie T-Rex, not Zombie Dinosaur. What do we think about this one?
I have to admit, I've actually only partially listened to the album twice. I've heard different parts of it at different times.
Okay. I like this track.
It's pretty slamming.
It's like it's like a powerful intro.
I was gonna say it did not stick out to me.
Oh, it did.
It's pretty slamming. You get some really good example of his rapping technique in this. What kind of stuff he can actually lay down.
Tesco by daily in loquaciousness. No rapper ever born did a rhyme like this. MC Lars with the rhythmic alacrity. Oratory skills causing mad catastrophe. Yeah, you kind of get a feel for the improved production quality kind of starts to be very evident right off the bat with this song.
Yeah, and you can see how this song would be awesome live, especially during that chorus.
Oh, yeah.
Because the whole audience would just be doing the T-Rex. Rawr! Because that's part of the chorus.
No mercy, no surrender. Zombie T-Rex, I'm killing it forever.
I have a note here. Oh, this is the one where towards the end it kind of makes me think of the MC Chris is Dead song, because you have the kind of eerie kind of fade out going on in it.
Yeah, I can see that.
It also kind of reminds me of True Player for Real, another MCR song.
Yeah.
A self-referential introduction song. And I have a note on here that there's a reference to White Kid still not being hypey in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember that.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, White Kid, sorry, you're still not hypey.
Lots of throwbacks.
Yeah.
All in one song.
And lots of references to dinosaurs, so it can't be.
And like the news clips cut in.
This song, okay.
Yeah. Didn't stick out.
It didn't.
Kind of a little throwback to...
I'm not good with...
To Lars Attacks, actually.
Yeah. I'm not good with song titles.
Not quite as... But those are... Yeah. Those are news... Yeah, the dinosaurs are attacking so-and-so.
Was it San Francisco?
Yeah,
it's being overrun, and the coffee prices are already starting to be affected.
Yeah, it's pretty funny right there. So let's get on the third track. Sublime with Rome... is not the same thing as Sublime.
Okay.
Now, I like this song a lot, but I'm a huge ska fan. I want to hear what you guys have to say about it first before I totally
enjoyed
ska
it
wanker.
A lot.
It
was catchy. It had all of the requirements I needed from a ska song. A quick kind of snappy music to it.
I'm not that into ska. So like the music, it was very ska-like, but the lyrics were amazing. 100% agree.
Cause what's the song really about? It's not necessarily about Sublime with Rome.
It's really about anytime a band gets
posthumously replacing a member of the band.
Somebody leave. You know, you get a third of the band back together, and then tack on some
new person.
You get Axl Rose decides you want Guns N' Roses back.
So you get a whole
bunch of other people and call it Guns N' Roses and then charge you outrageous prices for tickets.
Yeah, because he's talking about how some of them, it's like, well, at least... But when he makes that comment, well, at least their shirts were reasonably priced. That leads into a different track, but yeah.
Hey, Matt, have you had a chance to listen to it?
Not yet.
That would explain why you're so quiet.
So here's some of my notes on this particular song. When I was in college, I was a huge Sublime fan, and this song hits up so much of that. There are a bunch of little riffs to a bunch of their songs kind of hidden in there. The song starts off like one of their other songs with that dun 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 dun. It starts off with that. So it's really awesome. Plus, this song actually has Suburban Legends and I think the lead singer or somebody from Less Than Jake on the song. So it could get more ska than that in the whole friggin' song. I do like the little comment in there about the BC Boys where he said when the MCA died, they said, that's it, now make some noise. How they just said, no more Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
All right. So next track we're going to talk about is probably a soon-to-be favorite amongst many people, Hipster Mom. Which is a follow-up to
Hipster Girl
off of This Gigantic Robot Kills.
Like, I seriously had to ask, being a new father, like, I seriously wondered if MC Lars had a kid and didn't, recently. But apparently not. But it's hilarious.
It's pretty good. I like the lyrics and the chick that ends up talking. Is it the same chick that's in?
I'm pretty sure it is, because it certainly sounds like the same one out of Hipster Girl.
Yeah, but I think one of my favorite lines is breast milk vegan.
This may seem like a stupid question, but is breast milk vegan? Can I call you back in a bit? I have to Skype my lactation consult.
See, this song also to me had a little bit of a ska kind of sound to it.
But so did Hipster Girl.
Hipster Girl totally did not have a ska sound. I kept picking up little ska sounds. Maybe it was just there was a lot of horns on this whole album in general.
Okay.
But this particular song, I liked how it started off with I never thought I'd hear MGMT again. And then who was on the Yo Gabba Gabba Spotify channel. And I was like, oh my gosh, reference to Yo Gabba Gabba. And MGMT, which always makes me think of Will McCain,
but the because
that song would always come on.
The chorus is she's hipster mom is doing okay.
Is doing okay.
It's it's the ups and downs of parenthood. Okay. you're half asleep with only 4 hours.
So there is a small reference buried in the song towards the end where she's talking about the old shirt that she or the old hoodie she had from one of her friends and it's from a Hearts That Hate concert. Which if you're an MC Lars fan, Hearts That Hate is the band that he
the fictional band
Signing Emo and Signing Emo and perhaps another song which we might be talking about later. I was like, well, what's wrong with Blackfish? When I got to the end, I didn't know. To me, it's like, okay, how do you have a hipster song? And you didn't once mention like a big bushy beard.
Okay.
But it's a hipster mom. She's sold out. She got a brownstone.
That's true.
Took out a loan.
That's true. And she does have a vintage Slayer onesie, so that's kind of. I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do? I got dragon blood, what you wanna do, son? Cause I'm always going hard with my Dothraki crew. Dragon Blood!
Yes.
Dragon Blood, quickly a fan favorite, or it should be. I'm surprised it hasn't caught on in the whole Scarab thing. It will.
Mm.
Because what's it about?
Game of Thrones.
More importantly, it's about Daenerys Targaryen. It's from her POV. Well, sort of. Well, it is.
It's about her.
It is. It's to me, it's right up there with his like songs like Hey Ophelia, his Hamlet song, and his Ahab song.
It's his lit hop for this.
It's his lit hop. Yeah, because usually he has a lit hop song on his albums, and in my opinion, this is probably the lit hop song that he's got on here.
It's a little harder to kind of pin down where the others were pretty obvious.
All right, so let's talk about the song. Again, another slamming song.
Okay.
Really easy to just kind of like bob your head to.
We saw him do this one in concert
before it was released, and he has everybody do this cool little
hand gesture,
like a dragon head hand thing. Any other thoughts on this song?
It's amazing. You should listen to it.
We do know that there's a particular line that's almost not MC Lars-ish.
Yes.
MC Lars doesn't swear. He doesn't mention drugs. You know, he's very clean.
Yeah.
But you don't notice it, that he's clean. But in this one, there's a line.
Yep.
You'll figure it out when you listen to it. It's pretty hilarious.
You know what? I'll just play that line.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Right around here. Why not?
Yeah, bam. Here, now. Look, my lover in the eye,
winter's coming. So am I. See, it's much cooler when MC Lars says it than if I said it.
Yeah.
I do like in the chorus, the always going hard with my Dothraki crew. It's like, man, I just want that like on the back of a leather jacket or something. What you gonna do, son? Okay. So we move on to the next song, which is If I Were a Jedi, That Would Be Hella Awesome. And it features, let me butcher this guy's name, Brian Mazarad. It features Brian from
I Fight Dragons.
Hey!
Which they are another person that you've probably heard multiple times on the Scarab Swarmcast.
So some more crossover. Now before we get into too much about this song, it starts off like the classic Run DMC song, Tricky, and then it breaks into something a little different.
It's pretty odd. Being a huge Star Wars fan, it's literally...
As he sits here in a Star Wars t-shirt.
With his Death Star bottle opener. And,
I mean, that's like derivative Star Wars.
Oh,
yeah. John's wearing.
Oh yeah,
it's MC Chris, but it's a Boba Fett.
That's Vetcher.
So I mean, it's like,
yeah. See, there's so much Star Wars going on in this room, you just don't even realize it.
Me and Matt are the same.
And that's kind of like this song. There's so much Star Wars going on, but you do realize it. But he makes other references, like he makes references to Dune,
Harry
Potter, quite a few times.
Yeah, it's literally a song about what you would do if you actually had Force powers.
Yeah,
because. I mean, come on.
I would totally be bringing that bottle of beer over to me, you know.
Now, this song has a couple different kind of breakdowns in it, I think. And it shifts from being just kind of a little humorous to really kind of showing some of his rapping chops in part of it, I think.
Yeah.
So, this is a cool song. And, you know, if I were a Jedi, that would be hella awesome. Just like the songs. We're coming up next to another song, which I think we heard for the first time when we saw him in concert, which was Never Afraid, which features Watsky on this one.
Again, I'm not real good with titles, so I don't know until you start talking about the lyrics.
Okay. This one, Doug and I were kind of talking about this offline. It seems like it's more like, it's one of those introspective, self-reflecting kind of thing, but it seems in relation to like a mother or grandmother kind of figure, and books, because he makes references to all these different books, and they both make references to all these different books and such. They
see, would
used
this
to read.
One be his lit then? His lit?
No,
not really, because usually he's talking about a book. Because
usually he focuses like from a POV of somebody.
You're right. Okay.
But I remember this one. Some of the books I remember mentioning in this one are like Bridge to Terabithia,
The Red Fern,
Where the Red Fern Grows. Yep. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, from a whole album perspective, it doesn't. Yeah, like the
it's
songs
much slower.
The songs up until this are all like, you know, slamming. They're like
kind of fast paced.
Yeah, this one kind of shifts.
Yeah, this one kind of like takes you out of it a little bit.
I agree. It does have a very.
It's more like a trance version. If you go with the electronic version, rather than being dubstep, it's more like a trance. It's nice and slow and calm versus.
Signing trance?
It seems out of place to me in the whole record, just with its pacing.
If you're going to compare it to some of his other albums, this seems like it would have been one that would have been on Mars Attacks.
Right, that's what I'm saying. In this album, it seems out of place.
Okay. It hit on, like, probably the one thing I don't really care for in more current hip-hop things, which is to take that one little sound bite that's kind of has a much higher octave, or it's jacked up and almost sounds like high-pitched chipmunks kind of singing, and then you repeat that. That always just kind of grinds on my nerves, and that's in the choruses. So. But hey, you know, I thought it also had a very interesting, haunting kind of a melody to it. I wanted ghosts to show up. No ghosts. Because they're not afraid. They were never afraid. So they weren't afraid of stuff, ghosts and stuff. They mentioned ghosts in it, which is a really awkward segue into number 8, the top 10 things to never say on a first date. He does a pretty good job of this because he gives us 10 things to really not say on a first date. What do we want to say about this one?
I wonder if he actually said any of those on his dates.
So what are some of our favorites that he says on this?
Hey, I like nerdcore.
Yeah, the song ends with the 10th thing to never say is liking nerdcore.
So I'm really into nerdcore.
Like done, song end.
Yeah.
There's so much. It's very comedic.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's really good. Oh, now, when you're listening to
the
this.
The school one. I don't think public schools.
Oh, who's my favorite author? Well, I don't think they teach.
Kierkegaard.
I don't think they teach Kierkegaard in the state schools.
Public schools.
Or, no, he says state schools.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Remember this Lars we're talking about? He went to school in the UK. And
that's right.
He's a worldly kind of sort. So there's that. I'm listening to it and all because the song's very, you know, it's jamming. It's like and then I'm listening to it. I'm like, I'm like, whoa! I'm waiting for him to go. This is my United States of whatever.
Yeah,
because it's totally that song.
Feels like, yeah, sounds like.
Which would be awesome if Liam Lynch would ever return my emails. Because I would love to use his music on the show. Speaking of Liam Lynch, this next song has nothing to do with Liam Lynch. This is another one he teased out there, but then when he released it on the album, it's got a slightly different sound. Called The Ballad of Hans Moleman. Can't keep Hans Moleman down. This is him singing a song about the Simpsons character Hans Moleman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was listening to it, one of my favorite things in there is he makes a reference to the fact that instead of saying boo, he wasn't saying boo, he was saying boo earns, which is from the show.
He wasn't yelling boo, he was yelling boo earns.
This has a lot of, if you're a fan of The Simpsons and you're familiar with the character, he packs a lot of references to that character throughout the whole song. And it's a really catchy song, and I dig the chick singing the chorus in it instead of him singing the chorus in it.
Meh.
Ruby's opinion of the song is meh. What about you, Doug?
It's catchy.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
It's catchy. It also kind of reminded me of the Bloodhound Gang had a song about Ralph. and it kind of made me think of that too. Except their song, I'm pretty sure, was just a bunch of different things that Ralph says just kind of spliced into the song. So it made me think of that. And of course, after that, you get a really interesting song called The Dip, which has Cool Keith, which has Cool Keith on it. We all laugh about this. Because it's a... All right, a little background about this. It steals its chorus from a Freak Nasty song from the 90s, I want to say, called The Dip.
Yep.
Which got... How does The Dip go?
Wait, I'm going to screw up the order, but I mean, was it You Dip, I Dip?
Yeah.
That's part of it, yeah. It's, I put my hands upon your hip, and you dip, you dip. You get it. You dip, I dip, you dip. I'll put a, you know.
But the song is really about Roger Rabbit.
That's right.
Oh, so catchy, though.
Because in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, they have this thing called The Dip, which you put a tune in, and it melts them away. And
yes.
So the song is
put
about
a shoe in the dip.
Put a shoe in the dip, and I dip, you dip, we dip.
It's pretty amazing.
It's a pretty cool song. It when I first
this
started
is
listening to it,
one of the other ones that's really catchy to me. The one of the three,
especially once he gets in the Roger Rabbit. Yeah, this one's pretty. It's pretty tight. He's and you can you if you've watched them, if you've seen the movie, and you're listening to the song, you pick out all the things. They're like, man, I had forgotten about that in the movie. Holy crap!
I wonder, is that on Netflix right now?
I believe it is. Okay. And then Cool Keith breaks into his thing about rows and rows of fast food chains. He pretty much steals that whole Judge Doom speech. puts it right in it. It's pretty cool.
Put this rabbit in the dip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. Let's put these tunes up in the dip. When you dip, I dip, we dip. I'll put the shoe up in the dip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. When I'm mobbing with the weasels, we can dip tune down into a ground. This rabbit in the dip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. Let's put these tunes up in the dip. When you dip, I dip, we dip. I'll put the shoe up in the dip. When I dip, you dip, we dip. When I'm mobbing with the weasels, we can dip tune down into the ground.
Then we have, I hate to say it, it's probably my favorite song of the whole thing, Party with Lars, featuring Spoes. This song is so very not, very unlike MC Lars' song. This is very much like a Spoes song. If most, you can pretty much let your kids listen to this whole album. This song,
there's only like one line.
He drops the S-bomb, he talks about cocaine very briefly. Yeah. But that's part of the joke, but not in a joke like, drugs are good. Drugs are not good, drugs are bad. But it's a pretty funny song. It's a pretty cool song. I think it's a slamming song. And I think me talking about the song is probably longer than the song itself.
That's true.
What do you guys think about the song?
Nah.
When I was, because I was listening to this at work,
I got stuff happens at work. I got distracted. I don't terribly remember it all that much. I know I've listened to
it. It's so short, you might have been like, wait, what? Did I miss something? It's a Party with Lars. All right, then we get to what could arguably be another lit hop song in this. I think it's more just a piece about this particular person. It's called Forgot About Jack, which is about Jack Kerouac.
Okay.
And he talks about that whole the beatnik scene on the road. It's a lot of background information about Jack Kerouac. It's pretty cool from that standpoint, and it's not hard to listen to.
Doesn't stand out. I don't really recall it.
You might not listen to it too much.
Yeah. Like I said.
It reminds me of that, the slash, God's Not Dead, He's in Hiding song off of Large Attacks.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's interesting how he compares Tupac to Jack Kerouac, how they both have that gangsta aesthetic. I thought that was interesting. You're like, now I gotta listen to that song. So that's pretty cool. I think it's cool. And then that leads us to the final track on the thing, which is Triforce. Power, Wisdom, Courage.
So the other song I'm thinking of is Must Be on the Other Album. Okay.
So I
look at that.
When I was looking at the tracks, and typically on a Lars album, like the awesome lit hop song is at the last part.
Yeah, usually is.
And so I was super excited when I was like Triforce at the end because I'm a huge Zelda fan. And yeah, I felt let down. But that's me expecting like a Poe or a Moby Dick like awesome song.
You wouldn't be like, there I was in the forest and I saw a cave. I went in and somebody said, "Hey there, Dave, here's a wooden sign." I remember my friend Troy playing the first Zelda game when I let him borrow my gold cartridge. And he's like, I've been playing it for hours and I can't attack anything. I was like, what do you mean you can't attack? He's like, well, I don't have a sword or anything. Did you go into the cave at the beginning of the game? No.
I made that mistake too.
Yeah. So did I. Man. And then I didn't play it.
See, this is why we can't have nice things anymore. This is why games always have the let me take you through the tutorial for 5 hours.
Bite me.
But anyways, we're talking about this. I'm just kidding. We were talking about the song Triforce, which is really just, it's written like it's letters that he's writing to people in his past. And the last one's like a letter to himself. And there's just kind of,
one of the more introspective songs, I guess.
You could say there's a few links to his past in the song. Oh, come on. He actually puts that in the song.
I know. Doesn't make it any less sigh worthy.
The chorus gets stuck in my head. The power, wisdom, courage. But I kind of agree with you, Doug. I wanted it to be like the big power, like.
You're like, awesome!
Like thrashing, yeah.
And it was.
Gannon gonna get yours.
Moving along.
Now I gotta write that, right? Mm-hmm. I got the Triforce. What you gonna do, son? No, wait, that's a dragon. So let's talk about the album in general. What did we think of the album as a whole?
As a whole, I felt that it had a
Ruby's yawning right now. It's sorry, not indicative.
No.
It's just because it's pretty late. I felt like it was a good follow-up to not Large Attacks, but this Gigantic Robot Kills.
Yeah.
It had a very similar format and layout.
Well, some of the songs were sequels.
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember Large Attacks very well. It's not one I listen to often, so...
I like Lars Attacks. I listen to, like, the
front... It's definitely got some that I like, but...
The front half of Lars Attacks, I guess.
Okay. I agree. I'm kind of the same way. And in this album, he actually makes reference to that, you know, a lot of people liked Lars Attacks.
I feel like it's like the Weezer setup. They do an album for the people, and then an album for themselves, and an album for the people. Right.
So, and you know,
I've totally had that discussion with Ruby before.
Yes. Yeah. So in this one, I actually really like the cover and everything of it. It actually has the gigantic robot on it. The cover is more appealing than the Lars Attacks cover. The Lars Attacks cover is
just it's just the plain white with the Lars Attacks that looks like the Mars attacks.
Right.
And this Gigantic Robot Kills had a big, is his artful artwork on it as well.
Yeah, and the art's very much a similar style, but giant, you know.
Giant zombie T-Rex on the front.
Wearing an Oakland A's hat.
Yeah.
As you get.
Which, you know, his mom's keeping fresh.
That's right. I agree with what Doug was saying. This felt like a good companion piece to this robotic,
this gigantic robot kills.
This robotic giant kills. No, this gigantic robot kills. To me, this felt like it was kind of like a little in between that one and Lars Attacks.
Yeah. Oh, there's a booklet in it too.
Yeah, it's got liner notes and everything, just like a real CD.
Wow.
Lyrics and stuff, some more artwork. He actually signed the cover of our CD. He said,
I think all three of ours
keep it slamming.
All three of our all three of our Lars, MC Lars CDs are signed.
That's right. By MC Lars.
Well, yeah. Hey, my name's on it, too.
Yeah. I told you. It says, thanks, John and Ruby. MC Lars.
Oh, it shows you how much I listen to you.
I know. Store my life.
The first time I was introduced to MC Lars, he was...
Opening for...
Oh, yeah. Well, there was... the Tribe One and Adam Warrock opening and
oh
MC
my
Lars
god, that was such an awesome show
opening for MC Chris, and so there's, you know, this guy at the booth and he's super nice and like wait a minute, holy crap, okay. This is MC Lars.
Yeah. when we went and saw him at the Cat's Cradle right before this album came out, he talked to us. Yeah. He remembered some of the emails that we had got that we'd done back and forth with. I gave him some scarab swag. Gang was there. No, I gave him some scarab swag. It was cool.
Yeah.
He was a pretty cool guy. And apparently he's the nicest guy you'll ever meet. Now he's... I'm just... No, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
There was a couple times when he wanted to kind of actually be on the podcast, but his schedule is really crazy and wonky and stuff.
He tours
which
a lot.
The first...
In fact, he's going on tour right now.
The first song on the album talks about all the crazy stuff he's been
how
doing.
Crazy he tours. He's going on tour right now with a band called Cuckoo Kangaroo, which you guys should all check out. I have no words to describe them, except their big song is called Fanny Pack, and that pretty much tells you what you need to know. It's another good song that I think you could play in front of kids and stuff, and they'd probably get into it.
Anyway.
But he's also going to have a couple tour dates in there with the Aquabats, which I'm kind of jealous of that. Not that I would be on tour with the Aquabats. But
that you'd want to see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, write your Zelda song. And,
there we go. Hey, we'll NC see. Bat Commander, can I get you to lay down some mad fat vocals on my Zelda song?
Anyway.
Sure, kid. Go to his website, yes. MCLarge.com. Check it out.
I've got the pieces and they've always been inside me. You're talking negative, but I can't even hear you. I'm watching Get Beat My Dust in the rear view.
Bonus time! He put out a mix CD, which also is available right now. You can get it off of his website or a bunch of other places you can download it. But you can go through his website first. Wait, did he sign this too? No. This album is, this mixtape is called 22 Concepts, but a hit definitely still ain't one.
It's a follow-up to 21 Concepts, and a hit ain't one.
Right. So it kind of sounds like this is a bunch of stuff that he probably just recorded on the during his massive touring. There's a lot of...
Wow, there's 22 songs on here?
He said 22 concepts.
Well, wow. Some of them are some like of them you can tell.
Right, he does. Right, right. He does like to record a lot of haikus and stuff, and some of those kind of come off like there's just like somebody had a guitar or something, and it's like, hey, let's lay down this.
Was it
Deep. Sorry.
What is it?
We're not gonna go.
Stormtroopers of Death. Had super, you know, any procrastination song.
Oh my gosh, Stormtroopers of Death, awesome.
We're not gonna go line by line or song by song on this.
No,
one.
I figure we'll just mention, maybe talk about some of our
like Titans of Industry, which I actually thought was on the other album and was making reference to that.
let's talk about that song. Let's dive right into that song. Your song called Titans of Industry. It features MC Frontalot, which if you've never heard out MC Frontalot, go check him out right now.
Yeah. He's kind of the granddaddy of nerdcore.
Something like that.
Yeah, wasn't
Godfather.
He's one of the original people. There's a whole documentary
on that has Frontalot and Lars and
But this song is kind of a it's like a statement on the whole nerdcore and touring kind of thing. Because the chorus is, you know, my boyfriend is in the t-shirt business. My man Lars is in the t-shirt business. Look at us, we're in the t-shirt business. I thought we were musicians, what is this? Front Alive is in the t-shirt business. MC Lars is in the t-shirt business. Both of us are in the t-shirt business. I thought we were musicians, what is this? It rings a little bit of true, because I imagine that's probably where they get most of their money from.
Well, I mean, it goes with the whole, you know, download this song, or...
That's true. Kickstart
this song, which is like a thanks.
Yes!
Yeah. Which is also on this album.
Also crowdfunding.
But I mean,
it's
like, that's how you, like, how you show your support, is, you know, buying the music.
Buy the merch from the merch booths,
if you listen to MC Lars, you know, buying the music isn't like a thing. Buy the merch.
A lot of the music that he says, pay what you want, that concept of the, you think it's worth $5? Pay $5.
I mean, didn't he have, like he has a song on here, crowdfund this song. He had a song out on another one of his things, download this song. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, but aside from that, it's a pretty slamming song, right?
Slamming seems to be your new word.
Slamtastic.
That has been said a lot.
Well, it is. It's pretty awesome. It's dope. How about that? Does that sound better?
Sure. No.
It's dope. I think it's really dope.
Yeah, do slamming. You sound way too white.
So what other songs do we want to mention here? What the heck? You said crowdfund this song. Let's talk about crowdfund this song. Here's a little background on this song. There's certain people who, if they kickstarted at a certain level, they got to participate by putting in some of their musical talents on this, and that comes out in this song.
Awesome.
So on crowdfund this song, which is a follow up to his download this song, he talks about that whole crowdfunding experience, and you get to hear like all the different like oboes and saxes and things like that from the people who kickstarted at that level on that song.
So it's pretty catchy.
It is pretty catchy.
Where's the one?
So the opening song to the
Signing Dubstep.
Yeah, Signing Dubstep.
That's
signing
the one Dubstep, I was looking for.
Which is the follow up to Signing Emo. Which,
I like
with
that
the,
one best.
The Hearts That Hate band. It's the lead singer now.
That's right, Blake.
Blake now is what's his stage name?
Krylex.
who's no longer in the emo band. He's now a dubstep DJ.
And Marty.
Marty's
still in it.
Yeah, Marty got fired, and he's working at like the chicken shack or whatever.
It's
mopping up
crab shack.
It's awesome because it's got the hearts that hate Fate chorus, but all dubstepified. Dubstep.
Yeah.
Didn't you want like that as a separate track?
Yes. Yes. But, so Marty sees Blake performing somewhere and he gets his idea that he's going to go back in the game. They're both going to get back in the game. And essentially it all falls apart because Blake
record labels, they're terrible.
Right. They renewed that song for another 10 years.
So he can't make any money. And now everything he did up to this point with it, dubstep, the record company.
Owns. But Blake actually makes it a little bit okay at the end of this one. Yeah. But he gets involved in nerdcore or laptop rap.
Yep.
That's an awesome song. Yeah, if nothing else, that song right there. Check that one.
I think that's
signing,
a hit.
Signing emo.
So awesome. Yeah. I think he actually has a hit on this 22 Concepts album.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is it a...
Yeah, there's a couple others on it.
How Not to Write a Slayer Song.
Yes.
Good.
How Not to Write a Slayer Song is awesome. Especially once he starts like really getting into it and he goes, oh, I guess I can write a Slayer song.
Bringing Back the 90s I liked.
Bringing Back the 90s is awesome. There's so many 90s references in that. It's pretty much a Young MC kind of whole rap, the whole thing.
You know, getting pissed on a lorry.
Yeah, who's very pissed on the lorry tonight?
John mentioned earlier, you know, this is like he was recording these songs while on tour.
Yeah.
He was definitely in England getting pissed on a lorry.
Well, when you see like Snows of Kilimanjaro featuring Adam Warrock, I'm pretty sure he was touring with Adam Warrock at that time.
Yeah.
There's one with Tribe One. I'd be remiss to mention Back to the Start with featuring Tribe One.
Tribe One is also another really nice, fun guy to talk with. Yeah. He's pretty cool.
He was a librarian and now he's a nerdcore rapper.
Yeah.
I want to say he's out of Atlanta or somewhere in Georgia.
It's not Atlanta. It's, crap, I don't remember.
But fairly close by. Yeah. In fact, he let me use at least one of his songs on one of the podcasts.
You also have a remix of Dragon Blood and Zombie T-Rex.
Yes, there are two remixes
which are
at the bottom of this.
Also awesome.
Those are both pretty cool. The Dragon Blood is got a little bit of a, it's got a lot of chiptunes kind of.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. let's see what else. Like I said, there's a bunch of tracks that are really short. I'm surprised Ruby didn't say, oh, Gopher Guts is on this. Nice little ditty for when you're with your kids out by the campfire late at night.
Yeah.
He pretty much takes that song that some of us are familiar with.
Grimy Gopher Guts.
Yep.
What?
Great green globs of greasy, grimy gopher guts, mutilated monkey meat, little birdies, dirty feet, great green globs of greasy, grimy gopher guts and me without my spoon. Let me spit it.
Yeah, there's just a lot of fun.
It's fun.
There's a lot of fun songs on there.
Yeah.
Easy to digest. And you can, it's almost like, to me, it's like you can follow almost that tour by listening to that CD. You can follow some of that tour. I forgot, Signing Dubstep actually came about because he posted on Facebook something like, hey, what do you guys think of dubstep? And somebody said, well, it'll disappear in a while. And someone said, yeah. And then some nerdcore rapper is going to write a song about it.
Yeah, dubstep is gone.
Really? You think so? I kind of hear it still.
Mumford and Sons are bringing it back.
They're just hipsters. They're music hipsters.
They're the new Alex Clare.
The whole auto-tune.
But can they pick it back up?
I'm so glad. Oh,
but you still hear like every now and then somebody has a little auto-tune. Okay. So like the whole dubstep thing's passed, but every now and then somebody does something.
All right. So Yeah, so those are kind of our reviews and some of our thoughts and stuff about, well, in this case, 22 concepts, but a hit definitely still ain't one. And MC Lars's The Zombie Dinosaur LP. Again, go check those out, mclars.com.
Buy some stuff.
He's buy cool some guy. Stuff. Don't support just buy the CDs. Buy, like, everything he has on there. Hey, you should buy the little, if you buy the little robot keychain.
Oh, yeah.
That I've got, it's like a USB drive that
you can't,
has
you his can't entire, buy John's. You have to buy
well, don't yeah, don't buy mine. Buy your own. It's got a lot of his back catalog on it.
Yeah.
He might even sneak a few little surprises in there. You never know. That's just the kind of guy he
is. And the USB is pretty cool looking.
Yep. But yeah, go to his website, check him out. He's on tour right now. He's not coming to Columbia, South Carolina for some reason.
I know, he always shows up when it's ridiculously hot.
I know.
Like, you should be in the South during the winter.
Yeah, we just can't teach these guys that, can we?
Yeah.
Those guys from those other places that are not South Carolina. He'll be in North Carolina, and he'll be in Atlanta, he'll be in all those other places, you know.
We just can't make it those particular times this year.
Right.
This tour.
But hey, if you see him, tell him John said what up, and he'll go, cool, what John are you talking about?
John's pretty common name.
If you explain it to him, give about a nice little 30-minute long explanation. Make it kind of awkward and uncomfortable, and then get your picture with him. It'll be cool.
Well, you see my friend John from the Scarab Swarm.
He has a podcast.
He talks, and he sent you an email.
There's Matt's contribution.
Yay. Thank you, Matt.
Boom.
Cool. That's it. That's the end of this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. If you liked this, or even if you didn't, feel free to send us an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's /C-A-R-L-B. Lots of little dashes in there. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. If you want us to read any of your comments on the show, let us know. Hey, subscribe to our show. Check out the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Or you can grab that new RSS feed from our website. You can get our website off of Facebook or off of Scarab's website. Ah, it's all a bunch of internet flibbity-jibbity. So, until next time, when you think of Scarab's Wormcast, think of this podcast. And when you think of toast, think of me!
Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFightDragons at iFightDragons.com, MC Lars at MCLars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at MidnightSyndicate.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Binge Watchers Anonymous. Please go around the room and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Lars, and I'm a lostaholic.
Hi, Lars.
What makes this predicament especially embarrassing is that I didn't get into the show until way late, until, like, the Blu-rays came out. And now all I can do is just watch the show. I'm obsessed with it. It's becoming a bit of an issue. Listen.
I used to have a job and I used to have friends, till I discovered Lost. Now I can't pretend that I don't have a problem, my denial affliction, because it's stranger than fiction, this inane addiction. All I talk about is Lost, check out my life journal. Haven't slept for weeks, I'm becoming nocturnal. Raccoons are living in my laundry, the landlord wants me gone. Not moving from this spot, my favorite show is on. My friend Rob came to town, he said,
wanna get coffee?
If by coffee you mean watch Lost, then yes I want coffee. I miss my meeting with Rick Rubin, but I don't really care. Got a license to chill in my Slayer underwear. I miss my sister's graduation, cause I wanted to know if Jack was in fact gonna smack Rousseau for taking Claire's baby through the jungle late at night. Like, there you go, you don't steal babies, alright? It goes 4, 8, 2 to 15. My eyes are bloodshot and they're glued to the screen. 16, 23, 2 to 42. I'm addicted to Lost and there's nothing I can do. It goes 4, 8, 2 to 15. Caught up in the cheesy drama just like a tractor beam. 16, 23, 2 to 42. Friends don't let friends watch Lost, it's true. I was gonna see my mom, but Lost was on. I was gonna mow the lawn, but Lost was on. I was gonna write a new song, but Lost was on. Did nothing all day long, because Lost was on. Forgot to pay my bills, so they shut off the power. Gas in the water, been weeks since I showered. Forgot to pay my taxes, but it's worth the fine. I've got so many questions, so little time. Like, what's with the computer, right? What's up with Kate and Sawyer, right? What's up with that evil, weird, smoke life destroyer, right? Who kidnapped Walt, right? Was it the other's fault? How did Locke learn to walk? What's up with that vault. And yes, I'm addicted. If you don't get it, I'm sorry. This show is to me what smack is to Charlie. All because ABC caught my curiosity, so they can sell us crap with increased velocity. It goes 4, 8, 2 to 15. My eyes are bloodshot and they're glued to the screen. 16, 23, 2 to 42. I'm addicted to loss and there's nothing I can do. It goes 4, 8, 2 to 15. Caught up in the cheesy drama just like a tractor beam. 16, 23, 2 to 42. Friends don't let friends watch Lost, it's true. It goes Hurley, Hurley, Hurley. Why'd you eat up all those snacks? It goes Hurley, Hurley, Hurley. You're already much too fat.
Hold on. Wait, apparently that scene was just a dream? Thanks for the easy-to-follow plot lines, ABC.